Good morning. Good morning. Great to see you and welcome for those of you who are watching online who would have been here, but because of the floods, you've decided to stay at home. Welcome to the third part in our Catalyst series. What we're considering over these 4 weeks of February is this question: what is it that brings about change in a person's life? You know, so often we can kind of get stuck in life and we don't know kind of how to move forward from where we are at the moment. You know, we might long for something to change, but it doesn't. And so we get a little bit disillusioned by the lack of change. And so we end up with this little statement about ourselves. Even though we're not satisfied with who we are, we kind of want to be someone better, someone different. We come out with that little phrase, well, that's just who I am. And so we kind of settle for being that, just who I am. When in fact, there is a possibility for you and I to be able to make a change. It's true when it comes to faith. It's not only in life that we get stuck. You know, I would speak to many Christians who would say that they get stuck in their faith journey where God seems distant. It doesn't seem to be making much difference anymore. And in fact, a survey was done a number of years ago, and it was in America and in the UK and in many other countries. A survey which highlighted the barriers to growth for people to keep growing in their Christian experience. And this is what these are the results of the survey. The biggest reason people stall in their or get stuck in their spiritual journey is because, one, they haven't made it a priority, okay, that it's just kind of gone on, that faith has gone on the back burner for them, or they've been too busy. And then secondly, they have some kind of emotional pain or some traumatic experience or circumstances which have knocked them off course. And so if you look at that and think, well, I'm stuck and this thing happened to me either a number of years ago or recently, and it still keeps churning around for you, it's really important that you look to get some help so that you can take some steps forward again. Sometimes a whole lot of stuff needs to get unraveled to start with before being able to take a step forward. But if you haven't made it a priority, that's what this series is all about, this Catalyst series, because there are certain catalysts that help us to take some steps forward. Let me just put up onto the screen here. Well, I won't. Someone else will. The catalyst. What is a catalyst? It's an agent that provokes or speeds significant change or action. So in other words, it's something that promotes forward momentum and forward movement. And so we have looked week one at real relationships. It's having those relationships with people that go below the surface. And so, you know, when I arrived, I saw Nathan, who was playing the drums. And I said, how are you? He said, fine. He said, how am I? I go, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good, thanks. There you go. And we went through, that was our conversation. We gave a lot away in that conversation, didn't we? Yeah. And so do we have those relationships that go much deeper, where we're willing to risk being known? So the parts of us that we like to keep hidden from most people, are we willing to allow others in, to speak into our lives, to ask questions? To ask questions such as, for me, how are you doing as a husband or as a dad? Steve, are you making your spiritual journey a priority, or is it just your job? Who asks those questions of me? Well, it's only those people, in a sense, that I give permission to for those real relationships. Sarah tells me anyway. But so that was the real relationships. And so my question is, do you have those relationships in your life? You know, we have small groups, we have gatherings like this. But I spoke on that first week about something else that we have, which is kind of self-organized rather than centrally organized. And it's called Running Mates. And if you're interested in forming a Running Mates of two or three of you who have the desire to have these real relationships and to have some really honest questions and honest times with people, then you will find on our Next Steps table, you'll find these little leaflets which explain more about it. Last week, we looked at new mindsets, going from a kind of a set mindset to a growth mindset. If you weren't here, I got everyone to put their finger in the air and to circle clockwise above. And I said, bring your finger down, bring your finger down. Keep it going clockwise. And when you look down, all of a sudden it's going anti-clockwise. Well, how has that happened? It's all because of a different perspective. When we view things differently, we can make changes, a new mindset. And so we ask those questions. But a man called Paul said, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And so this week, we're going to go on to the third of these catalysts, which is called better habits. Now, I loved the opener today. I loved it, okay? I thought it was performed brilliantly. I can't see where they are. They're probably at the back. Yeah, absolutely. Absolute stars. Dario and the band did a brilliant rendition of a song called Bad Habits that was written by the patron saint of Suffolk, St. Edward Christopher Sheeran. I mean, isn't that great? Now, we all have habits. Habits are those things which we repeatedly do that shapes our actions and our attitudes. And some of those are good, and like Ed Sheeran sang about, some of them are not so good. We all have habits. So I want to find out whether you have good habits or whether you have bad habits. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to put up, here we go, here is a list of what I think are fairly universally thought of as bad habits, okay? Habits that people would like to try and give up. Okay, so we've got biting your fingernails, overspending, picking your nose, overeating. That's not overeating having picked your nose, I don't mean that. Okay, that's a whole different thing, isn't it? Snacking, constantly checking your phone, hoarding, smoking, not exercising, drinking alcohol every day, and being messy. Okay, I want you to have a look down that list, and how many of those apply to you? Okay, just count them up. Out of 10, how many of those habits apply to you? Okay, you haven't got to call them out. Okay, you haven't got to call them out. Just have a look. Okay? All right, so there are a list of 10 fairly random bad habits, okay? Have you got your score? You have? Good. Okay, then. Right, well, now we're going to go to some good habits, I think, which are fairly universal as well. Eating a balanced diet, getting enough sleep, exercising regularly, tracking your spending, making time for family and friends, starting the day with either meditation or prayer, smiling or laughing more, cutting down on alcohol consumption, speaking positively to or about people, and decluttering. Okay, now how many of those are habits of yours? Okay, now just, I'm not going to ask what your scores are, but did your good habits outweigh your bad habits? Just nod if that was the case. Okay, so there's 5 of you. Great, okay, that's fine. I won't ask you to make it public, but honestly, it's interesting, isn't it? Just thinking about that. In preparation for the talk today, I asked Sarah to write down some of what she would consider would be my bad habits that she'd noticed. If ever there's a mistake in life to make. What worried me to start with when I handed her the notepad was she just said these words, how many do you want me to write? And honestly, she sat as she was writing and there was a smirk on her face for the whole time. Honestly, the dedication, because she would come back, oh, I thought of another one. And she would keep doing that as well. And I don't have time to share the list, but there was that one. There was that one. There was that one. Honestly, it was flipping awful. but taking at least 7 seconds to reply to anything she says, I don't get that one at all. Forgetting where I put my keys, my phone, and my laptop. Steering the car with my knees. Not putting indicators on. Then not putting them off when I do put them. Honestly, the list just goes on and on and on. Do you know what? I have discovered, though, that bad habits are much easier to make than good ones, aren't they? Partly that is the annoying thing in life. It is really easy to pick up a bad habit and much harder to establish a good one. So the question is this, why are good habits really difficult to start and why are bad habits really difficult to break? I think it's kind of important to understand why that's the case. Well, partly it's because this, good habits are difficult to start because the pain is now, but the payoff is later. So I've got the image of sport there, okay, two people, I don't know what they're doing actually, but I've never done it in my life. But anyway, if we want to get fit, you know, if that's a goal, then that's a really, really good goal. So we start to exercise. But after day one of starting to exercise, in fact, after day two, it really hurts. And so the temptation is, because life is busy, that we actually stop doing the exercise. But the problem is that we pay later, because we become more and more unfit. If we can break through the pain barrier to start with, it leads us to a later payoff that we really, really want. You get that, yes? You understand that? Yep. So, why is it that bad habits are difficult to break? Well, it's completely the opposite. Go on to the next one. Bad habits are difficult to break because the payoff is now, but the pain comes later. And I've got the add to cart click button there because shopping, I think, can do this. Comfort shopping. Some of you will know exactly what comfort shopping is. You have a really bad day, you come on and you go onto Amazon or you go onto some kind of website and you see something and you'd never really thought about that thing much before, but all of a sudden you need it. And so you click the add to cart button. And the great thing is that when we buy something, there is something about that that gives us a bit of a buzz. It gives us a little bit of a high. And if you're doing Amazon Prime, the next day, it's on your doorstep and you've got something tangible to hold on to. So your next day, which is an even worse day than the day before, you know that you can feel better by going online and clicking that button again and buying something else. So the payoff is now. I get a quick buzz. The problem is that when the car breaks down and you go to your bank balance and you find that you've spent money on stuff that just made you feel a bit better, that you don't have the money to pay for your bills. See, therefore you have to borrow. And what happens is that the pain comes later as you hit debts and as you hit all kinds of financial worries. So are we willing to, in a sense, go through the pain of something that will lead to something so much better later on? That's always the question when it comes down to our habits. So let me ask you just a couple of questions. It's going to come up here on the screen. If you're watching online, just have a think about this, about your own life at the moment. Based on, not on who you are, that's just who I am, but based on who you want to become, the kind of person that you want to be, what one bad habit do you need to break? Because that bad habit leads you to being someone that you don't want to be. And what one better habit do you need to start to build into your daily routine? That might be tough, might be difficult to start with, but ultimately it leads to an amazing payoff. You know, there are some habits, we'll come back to that in just a moment, that there are some habits, some better habits, some what we would call as spiritual habits or spiritual disciplines that can help us to grow in faith. A spiritual habit or discipline is basically, it's an activity, it's something that we can do that can help me to gain power to live life as Jesus taught and modeled it. So as a follower of Jesus, that's what I want. I want to be able to model and live out the kind of life that Jesus calls me to. So how do I do that? What is this spiritual habit or discipline that I need to get to on a regular basis to be able to do that? And I want to focus on one habit before we finish this morning that honestly has set me in good stead for growing my faith and helping me to get to hear God speak to me and to work out what God wants for my life. It's a habit that's been modeled to me by my parents, My dad has dementia. It's really interesting, but he still practices this. Even if he doesn't understand it, he goes through the same process because it is so ingrained within him. It's a habit that I have struggled with at times, and at times I've needed accountability and I've needed support from others. But it's a habit that shaped my life, changed my opinions on things, and helped me grow and change. This is the habit, the better habit. It's reading and engaging with the Bible. Now, you might say, well, that's a bit predictable, Fenning, isn't it? I mean, blimey, you go to church and say, oh, it's the Bible. Honestly, this is one of the life-changing habits that we can get into where God brings about change to our lives. I'm not the only person to say this. A survey was done back in 2022 in the UK. It's called the Talking Jesus Survey, to discover what people in the UK think about Jesus, think about church and faith and stuff. And when people were asked, where would you go to find out about the Christian faith? This was the answers. Searching on Google came out top. Of course it does. That's right. And then look, the second one down was reading the Bible. Equal to going to church. So if people want to find out about faith, the Bible plays a really important part in that. And then they asked some questions of people who would call themselves practicing Christians. In other words, people who have got a faith and are trying to live that faith out. And they asked those people how they had come to follow Jesus for themselves. And this is what growing up in a Christian family is by far the highest. Has the biggest influence on people coming to faith is children discovering a faith from their parents. Second place is reading the Bible, 24%. That goes up to 38% of people who are now followers of Jesus who came to faith between their ages of 18 and 24. And attending a physical church service, again, was very high for that. There was another survey that was done by this church in the States, which went across churches all over the US, but in the UK as well. And this was the conclusion of the big survey that they did. They said this, that the single greatest predictor of spiritual growth at any stage of faith, whether you are exploring faith, whether you are new to faith, whether you are growing in faith, or whether you are kind of mature and strong in faith. In all of those stages of faith is the practice of reflecting on the Bible's implications for daily life. The Bible is the most powerful catalyst for spiritual growth, they reported. And here we go. Spending time in the Bible is hands down the highest impact personal spiritual practice. Specifically, reflecting on the meaning of Scripture in a person's life is the spiritual practice that is most predictive of growth for all three spiritual movements. That's going from new Christian through to maturity. So it's not just me. This is proved through various data that reading and engaging with the Bible is significant in helping people to take steps forward in exploring faith, in discovering faith, and in growing in faith. Why? Well, it's because God has chosen to communicate who he is, what he has done through the person of Jesus, and what it means to follow him through this book called the Bible. It's still how he speaks to us today. It's amazing how a book written over 1,400 years, written by 40 different authors, over 2,000 years ago, can still speak to us today. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Just amazing. Actually, it's not a book. Of course, it's 66 books. Six made up of six. So it's like a library of books. That's what the Bible is. It's a library of books. And it's split 39 books. The first 39 books is part of the old, it's called the Old Testament or the Old Agreement that God had with the Jews. And then there are 27 books in the New Testament, which really kind of sets out the new agreement that God has with us through Jesus. That it's not about trying to keep laws to please him. It's about choosing to follow Jesus. So, Quick things coming up here. Just first of all, David, the man who killed Goliath. If you're not used to the Bible, you've still probably heard of David and Goliath. David wrote these words. He says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." If you want to know how to live and the direction for your life to go in, well, David is saying you need to read and apply what it is that God is saying. Jesus, when he was tempted, he was alone. He was for 40 days. You know, we're into a period of Lent where people often give up chocolate and give up. Well, Jesus gave up food for 40 days. And he was tempted. He was tempted to do stuff that he shouldn't do. And this is his response to one of those temptations. He says, "Human beings cannot live on bread alone, but need every word that God speaks." In other words, we need spiritual food, not just physical food, to make us grow. We need to hear God's voice. And how do we do that? Well, it's by reading and listening to what God has had to say to us. There's a man called Paul who wrote much of the letters of the New Testament. He was writing to churches to help them to know what it means to follow Jesus. And this is what he wrote to his apprentice called Timothy. He said, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what's true and make us realize what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right." And then he goes on to say this: "God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work." If you want to do something good, it's worth reading and engaging with the very words that God has given to us. So it's a practical book. It's a book that seems alive today. But just reading it isn't the catalyst for growth. That's not what brings change. Gaining information is helpful, but that isn't the purpose of the Bible. I love, there's a man called Rick Warren. He was a pastor of a really, really large church in the California area of the United States. And this is what he said and wrote. He said, "The Bible is meant to transform you, not just inform you. God gave us the Bible to transform us, not simply inform us. It should give us," I love this, "it should give us a bigger heart, not a bigger head." For people who think that, "Oh, I know so much about the Bible," that's not the purpose of it. It's to give us a bigger heart so that we learn to love others. And then he goes on to quote something of Jesus' brother, James, who wrote a letter. And it says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." He says, "Do what it says." In other words, God wants our beliefs into behaviors. The purpose of the Bible is more than just showing us what's wrong in our lives and how we should live. God gave us his word to radically transform our lives. The Bible describes itself in different ways. For example, it calls itself a hammer, calls itself a sword and a scalpel, all of these tools designed to make radical changes. And God intends for the Bible to dramatically change our lives. And the Bible is also described as milk and water and bread and meat. And what do those things have in common? Well, if you don't eat or drink them regularly, you'll die. And he finishes off by saying this: we were never meant to live without the Bible. So, a catalyst for growth is engaging with the Bible to see what does God say for us to say and to do. Is there one way to do it? Of course there's not. I want to invite Ben, would you mind coming up? Sarah, would you mind coming up? And Rhea, would you mind coming up as well? Because I've got three different people here who all engage with the Bible. But they don't do it in the same way. So I want to ask them this question. When it comes to reading the Bible and engaging with it, what do you do? In other words, how do you do it? And secondly, what has it done for you? So, Sarah, are you happy to go first?
I'm an extrovert, so I want to do everything with other people. So I am not a person who can sit on their own on the edge of the bed in a white nightie and just read the Bible by myself. So the way I engage with it best is in a small group. And one of the ways I really like doing it is using all of those little videos that you get on. We use Right Now Media, don't we, at church? And there's an anthology app as well. And there's loads of little teaching videos about, I mean, sometimes they'll do a whole book of the Bible. We did a great series on Colossians. But someone has done the video. There's like 9 minutes. They talk you through it. They interpret it for you. And then in my small group, we'll discuss it. And everybody brings their own little slant on it. And that changes the way I think about things. So the discussion is as important for me as hearing what's said. And what was the second question?
What has that done for you?
Yeah, it changes how I think and changes how I live my life. There's one little quote from that series we did on Colossians, which is by Louis Giglio. He said, it's about understanding who you are in Christ and kind of replacing yourself. And I've taken from that a little thing he said, which was, what would it look like if I went into the day thinking and knowing I have everything I need? And it's the only thing I remember from that whole thing. But I say it to myself when I'm in the car on the way to work and I start to get the flutter of anxiety, which is normal for me. But I say to myself, I have everything I need. And it's like a recenter for me. So that it is one small way, but there's lots.
So sorry if you don't know me very well. I'm kind of new to the Forge. So the past 3 years, I've been at university in Norwich studying English literature. So I'm a words girly. I love like reading, and especially I've gotten a lot into the Bible by understanding the words written on the page and not just thinking of them as something in the air that isn't actually applicable to my life. The way I read the Bible, for the past 9 months, I've been actually taking and asking God to reveal to me a book of the Bible each week to work my way through. And I then find a book and, you know, it might be Galatians, it might be in the Old Testament one day. And then I take that week and I just really unpack that single book and say, God, how do you want to speak to me through that book? I love Bible commentaries. They basically are books that go alongside the Bible that kind of give you extra info. The translations, the languages it used to be written in. But the one thing I do every time I open my Bible is I ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me. Because if you're going to open a book, you need to have the intention of actually getting something out of it. If you want to know the author, you've got to read their book. Yeah. So that's how I read the Bible. What it's done for me, it's internal. It changes you from the inside out. Like Steve was saying, it's a transformation, and it starts from the inside, and then you'll learn how it affects you on the outside. Like, it changes the way you see God, it changes the way you'll see yourself, and it will change the way you see God's people and the world around you. And I just think that's amazing. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, so I think I started reading the Bible really seriously about 16 years old. Which is when I started taking God seriously. And I think one thing that's been really refreshing for me going through that journey is we're all different, so we can all receive differently as well. So one of the things that I do is listening to the Bible. I listen to the Bible a lot. One of the things we do as team is sometimes we'll just kind of set some music on, a bit like what you're hearing now, and read through a psalm and meditate on that. But for me, like, I used to be really, I must get up half an hour early, I must read this amount, and that became really tiring for me, and it didn't work with my life. And, you know, with kids and stuff, you don't decide when you wake up. You get woken up, and then to be woken up and say, hey babe, hang on, I'm just going to go read the Bible for half an hour with a cup of coffee, perhaps isn't the most helpful thing at times. So I've found listening to the Bible in the evening really helpful. Sometimes I'm in a streak of doing it every single day, and sometimes I got stuck at an airport for a couple of hours the other day and got so ahead with my plan, but then didn't read anything whilst I was away, and that's okay. And what it's done for me is, well, one, it constantly renews my commitment to who what Jesus has done for me and constantly reminds me of that. It's not something that I've... I've tried to read the Bible cover to cover every year since I was 16, and I can't say that I've ever not got something from it, if you know what I mean. I would say it changes my worldview and enables me to think clearly in a world where there are so many dividing opinions and influences. It roots me in one influence, in one place, and that helps me as I parent, as I work, as I deal with people with bad habits. I could have added another couple of pages there, Sarah, if you'd let me. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that back off you now. Thank you very much. Wonderful. Thank you guys for sharing that, because there isn't a one way to do it. You need to find a way for you to be able to do it. Some of you, you already do this. I just want to say well done and carry on. Keep going with it. Some of you used to do it, but you've stopped. It had become a tick box exercise and you just kind of lost heart with it. Well, can I just say, I think it's time to start again and to start simple. And some of you, this is new, and I would love to be able to help you. Over on the Next Steps table over there is this little book called Luke. It is the account of Jesus' life that we kind of focused on when we did our series called Investigating Jesus. Luke was the author behind lots of the stories and situations that we looked at. This is the account of Jesus' life. There are 24 chapters in this book. And if you are wanting to find out about faith or come back to reading the Bible again, then go over to the Next Steps and take one of these books. But there is a condition with it, all right? So if you want to take one of those, I would love for you to give your name and your mobile number, because if you choose to do it, I want to be able to set up a little WhatsApp group where we choose to read a chapter a day over the next 24 days. There's 24 chapters to Luke's gospel. And I'll just post on that a question for you to consider from what you've read, and then you can share anything that you sense that God might be saying or what you're learning or even questions that you have. And so to help to encourage you to get going, take one of those from the Next Steps, give your name and your mobile, and we can engage on WhatsApp over the next 24 days. Let's come to your little card, which you should have on your seat. Your card, which has better habits. These are the things which I want you to consider this week. Based on who I want to become, what one bad habit do I need to break and why? And what's the short-term pain but long-term gain in making that change? And what one better habit do I need to start to build into my daily routine? And honestly, if you want to start doing this, it's make yourself accountable, which is why I want you to, if you take one of those, to make yourself accountable. Give your mobile, and then we can have conversations on WhatsApp about that. And then finally, what step can you take this week to begin to engage with the Bible, to allow God to speak to me? Let me pray. God, thank you that you don't want us ever to get stuck in life, that you have the power, you have the you have everything that we need to be able to take steps forward and to grow to become the person that we were made to be. So please, would you help us to, consider seriously what it might mean to develop a better habit of being involved in a church community, a better habit of reading the Bible, engaging with it to find out what it is that you're saying to us. Help us in that, Lord, we pray. And even when it's painful, when it's difficult, when we don't feel we have time, help us to keep pressing through that so that you can shape the people. You can shape us to being the people that you call us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.